Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. Dr. Larson is a Ph.D. in physics from Cornell University. That was obtained in 1974. He's here to discuss a simple, verifiable physics-based explanation for the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11. Before we get back to our conversation with him, I just wanted to mention that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at rbnlive.com on the web, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's rbnlive.com or 1-800-724-2719. You can have new RBN t-shirts by contacting us at rbnlive.com or at notyranny.com, or again calling us at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD directly from the Republic Broadcasting Network. That DVD is entitled America, Freedom to Fascism. That's obtainable for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by contacting us at 1-800-724-2719 or again at rbnlive.com on the World Wide Web. Ron, go ahead, sir.
Okay, where were we? We were back at
the demolition tape.
We're doing the tip. Yeah, let me play that. I turned the gain down a little bit. Let's see if we can get it here. Here we go.
More discernible that time.
Okay, that's about it. And hopefully
more discernible in both.
Pardon me?
More discernible this time in both.
More discernible, right. Is this proof? No, you remember we're gathering data, right? See, I got to remind everybody, this is what we're doing. We're not saying, hey, this is it. Oh, this is demolition. This is what happened. No, we're gathering data. This is, I'll tell you what this is like. Tell you what this game is like. It's refraining from trying to come up with an idea quickly. It's like equivalent to putting together a jigsaw puzzle. You know, you put a few pieces, they don't see anything. After a while, after a day or two, you say, ah. Now you're tempted to say, it's a lion. All right? You say, oh, it's a lion. I'm done. No. Let's keep on putting pieces on there. And it turns out to be an elephant. You know,
but this is where I think the scientific endeavor overlaps with the journalistic.
You betcha. It's the same thing. And unfortunately, people, unless you remind them of that, Mark, and you've been, you know, I know you've got a good reputation in that area, in the journalistic area. It's, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. The mind wants closure, and therefore it wants to say, ah, that's it. I learned from an old mentor of mine, young guy probably, I'm really quite long of tooth, but he's probably 20 years younger than me. His name is Martin Sage. And he used to say, as part of his Sage training method, he said, refrain from saying, that's it, right?
Exactly.
Express your own truth. What we used to do is sit in a semicircle and ask of the person that we're working with, that is one of the other students, what do you want? You kind of watch the eyes. You just watch for subtle stuff and say, what is it? The person would pop up in the room and say, well, he's angry because, no, that's not it, Susan. I see anger in that left eye. You know, that's so much. This is how you have to approach it.
We'll be back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com and Mark Dankoff's America Returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. Dr. Larson has a Ph.D. in physics from Cornell University in 1974. He's here to discuss a simple, verifiable, physics-based explanation for the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11. Ron, take it away.
Okay, let's go back, and let me kind of summarize what we've had here. You know, there's the old teaching principle, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Three buildings came down, Building 7, a low building that housed a lot of the FEMA crew, et cetera. Buildings 1 and 2, those were the towers, north and south towers. They were hit by two airplanes. They came down totally different way. Building 7 collapsed many hours, 6 hours after the planes hit on 9/11. And as far as we can determine here, they were intentionally brought down. Larry Silverstein later on said, no, he pulling doesn't mean demolish it. Well, there's a lot of evidence that shows that he's blowing wind in this way. So that one really came down more like with controlled demolition, where you place charges in the building, time them, or send them off with radio transmitted signals on a timer, computer timed, and then the building comes down from the gravity itself and crush it, goes to the ground. That was Building 7. So in other words, the collapse was from the bottom up. There's usually, if you heard in the recording, you heard a bang in the beginning, and that's where they put the crimp in the building. That is to say, you put a blast in the bottom, and it dents the building so that the building folds in itself when the other blasts are shot off as it goes downward. Now, Buildings 1 and 2 started from the top, really, or from the air of the impact point where the airplane started, and they kind of rolled downward like, you know, the unpeeling of a banana in that way. Doesn't mean it wasn't controlled demolition. Doesn't mean it was, but it doesn't mean it wasn't simply because it looked different. It was just an inverted sort of picture in that area. The other piece of information, the data, we said that there were steel columns stacked up. We found in the ground zero after they were stacked up by the workers. They were walking around cleaning up things. And here are these steel columns that formed the center core of the building, had 45-degree cuts in the end. And I said that was really important to look at. And I said, as far as the collapse went, you can think of it as a banana unpeeling with a banana, by the way, going away. That's the center core. It disappeared as the collision progressed downward to the ground. And it was like, the picture was like the Blue Angels, the starburst pattern, something like that. And we got into the explosions. I played the two sounds that were recorded for one of the buildings, either south or north, collapsing. You could hear a pop in the beginning, and then a space, and then a series of other pops. That was taken from the soundtrack shot across the river, also from CNN or one of the other tapes. The videos that were taken in that area, and also that pattern was visible on the seismograph records from taken at Columbia University during 9/11. That's kind of where we are in that area. So again, remember the 45-degree cuts. Remember that, right? Really important to remember that. Also, as far as the explosions, people reported loud explosions in the building occurred just before the series of pops. Also, there were flashes shown in the videos. You could see them preceded the line of destruction falling down, say buildings one or two. You'd see flashes. You could also see puffs of powder or smoke coming out. They're called squibs. If you go to that implosionworld.com site, there are about, I think, 12 pictures of different structures coming down. And in every case, you can see those squibs going outward. And you can see, and I think in some of them, you can see flashes of light. And you can hear the sounds, the popping sounds also. So that's kind of where it is. That's what we have so far. Let's take another piece of evidence here. You saw a smoky white cloud. I mean, if you look at the pictures. By the way, I want to add something here. Please, really spend some time if you want to save our country so we can get a story together to present to Congress or somebody. Spend some time looking at that 9/11 Mysteries video. I don't mean reading it, doing it once. I think I've seen it 10 to 15 times because you see something different each time. And by the way, the gal that's produced it, narrated, is not saying, oh, this is it, this was an implosion. No, she's not doing it. She's giving a whole ton of data and background. So it's great to watch. It's well-produced video. Anyway, so let's look at the what's called pyroclastic flow. You see that there's a whitish smoke flowing over the ground after building one came down or building one and two came down. I mean, it's really hugging the ground. Now, where have we seen this before? Well, if you look at the Implosion World site, you certainly see it. But also, I'll tell you where you see it also is around volcanoes. And that's characteristic of having extremely small particle sizes and also very high temperatures. You get that combination together, and you've got it. So associated with the pyroclastic flow that we had here is a lot of thick powder, I mean, over everything. I'm talking about I'm trying to get a size. It's 10 to 100 microns. But think in terms of a woman's face powder or something, this real powdery. This is what no chunks of concrete were found. Well, I don't know if any chunks, but by and large, that was just not found. If you look at the pictures and you listen to the witnesses, what you see is that you get this thick, thick layer of powder and embedded in it or body pieces and whatever it is, but everything is small, inch long or so. Somebody said one of the workers said the biggest thing he picked up in the whole field, the debris, was the dialing plate, the plate on the top of a phone, so it's 3x3 or 4x4, something like that. In this mess, obviously, are the body bones and a variety of other things. By the way, another piece of information: bones, body bones, human bones were found on the roofs of adjacent buildings. I think that's a piece of information. Why would these bone fragments be up there? Piece of interesting. Anyway, so we have this pyroclastic. It's not pyroplastic. PYROCLASTIC. Go to Wikipedia to look that up if you need to do that. The concrete, of course, as I said, was a lightweight concrete. There were no chunks of concrete found anywhere. I'm just looking here for the other pieces of information. I don't know if I mentioned that here. But if you look at the buildings coming down, you can also see what appear to be little sticks being blown out. No, they're not sticks. They're big chunks of steel. They're beams being blown out. Now here's key information, blown upward and outward, actually over what's called 4π steradians. I'm sure they were shot in every different direction. A starburst, the stuff thrown downward at an angle is in the smoke. It's hard to see it. But, I mean, why would you have, if the building came down and collapsed, and as, by the way, the government says it was kind of collapsed in pancake fashion, the heating caused the steel to bow, et cetera. And as a result of that, what happened was that the building began, it just collapsed in a pancake fashion. And I can't figure how you'd get steel. I mean, GERS thrown way up and outward. It also embedded in other buildings. I mean, you can see pictures on the sites of embedded in the other buildings, like arrows in that area. And I had that note here. I hadn't gotten to it. Aside from the explosions, there was molten metal in the basement. That's very interesting. A lot of the metal was still molten. It was globs of metal in the basement of the building. A lot of it. And it was huffing and puffing and steaming and doing everything down there. And several weeks later. Now, you can see that heat could be contained for a long time in debris. It kind of insulates it. But the question is, what temperature does this go to? I mean, what temperature did the building go to? Now, the official version of the story, and we'll get into this in just a second, is that the airplanes hit it, the flames leaped out, from the building. The airplane disappeared into the buildings. Fuel was burning, orange flames. That's a low-temperature flame, by the way. And it was localized. The firemen said over the radios that the fires were truly localized, so anything that was heated up was local in different areas. It may have spread to different parts. Furniture was afire. Anyway, that's from the heating, so to speak. The National Institute of Standards and Technology did some measurements and presumably used some of the satellite photos from the satellite photos, looking at infrared photos, et cetera. But what they said was that it looks like in certain areas the temperatures never reached above 500 degrees centigrade. Zero degrees centigrade is freezing. 100 degrees centigrade is boiling point of water. It corresponds to Fahrenheit 212, like boiling point. And they said that the melting point of steel is about 1,500 degrees centigrade. And I guess that those, I don't want to load you up with numbers here, but those are the numbers.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com when we return. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. Dr. Larson has a Ph.D. in physics from Cornell University. He achieved that in 1974, and he's here to talk about a simple, verifiable physics-based explanation for the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11. Ron, go ahead, sir.
Okay. I hope we're doing okay here. Don't get bogged down in the detail. Remember, look at this very much like you would. You were looking at a jigsaw puzzle you were putting together, and just let the pieces fall together. Jot a few notes down. Know that you can look up on my webpage to get a lot of the details as far as even from the videos. And I'm going to be summarizing all of the evidence anyway when I get to the end of this, but I wanted to give you the background. And I'm filling in as I go along. It's not a nice, neat thing. It'll work out. Just relax. Sit back, enjoy, pay attention, but don't try to remember that. That's not needed at this point. Anyway, so we've Remember, I mentioned the local flames in the buildings, so we know that. So if the building did heat up, it was going to be locally heated. And it wasn't like the whole building was just cooking, you know, in that area. And the firemen heard the pops. It was steel or metal, at least metal, at the base of the building. There was molten or hot or bubbling. One of the reports I read was that a month later they dug through the debris and they pulled up steel or some metal anyway. Molten metal was dripping off of it. Now again, how reliable is this? I don't know. Remember, this is a jigsaw puzzle. Not everything is real solid, but when you get the whole thing together, the overall picture gives you a lot more truth than individual pieces will. Anyway, in addition to that, if you look at the videos, metal was pouring down the sides of one of the buildings. That's really exciting. Perhaps you say it's aluminum from the airplanes melting. Perhaps it was from some other thing. Let me get ahead of myself intentionally here. One of the ways that steel or iron can be cut thick sections of it is something called thermite. So if you remember back to high school or somewhere, grade school, somewhere, college, you probably took a chemistry course and they had this stuff called thermite. It kind of looked aluminy, metal powder. And the professor fired it off with something, maybe with a sparkler. Sparklers are sort of the same material, you know, the same material. And I'll let you know that it's thermite is used to weld steel together, weld tracks together on the site. That's one of the things. Very, very hot stuff, really. Remember, steel melts at about 1,500 degrees centigrade. And maybe that was steel coming down. All indications are that it was iron or steel pouring out, although one of the reports says, it must have been the aluminum. No. Anyway, let's just say metal was pouring down the side of the buildings. Let's take, again, a look at some more of the evidence here. Somebody pointed out, and I think that's where I first saw it the first time, was in one of the videos anyway. It talked about the timing, loose change, that was it, the timing of the falling of the buildings. If you take a stopwatch and you look to see, watch the line of damage move downward, it takes roughly the damage line, let's say, of the order of 10 seconds. That's remarkably fast. In the beginning introduction to this whole thing, I mentioned that the buildings collapsed quickly. Anyway, that line moved down at about that speed. Now, if you say, I wonder, God, that looks almost like free fall. Free fall is when you drop a bowling ball out of a window. Who does this? Hardly. Or a piano out of a window. Hardly anybody does that. But in other words, something that doesn't kind of float around and get caught by the air currents. Objects drop at a speed of 32 feet per second. There's acceleration of gravity. There's physics, right? There's acceleration of gravity caused by gravity. If you do the calculation, simple stuff, you know, distance is equal to one half g, acceleration of gravity, 32 feet per second times the time square. You get the relationship between the distance something has to fall and how long it takes. It turns out that it's about the same time. When you look at the fall of the buildings, so you say, wait a minute, this isn't free. How could a building be in free fall? Well, there's only one way that I can think of. I just can't think of any other way. And that is that at the damage line moving downward below that, the floors have been blown out sequentially below the damage line as it's moving downward. Now, that fit that in with the picture of the flashing lights and the smoke, the squibs blowing out. Is that what happened? It seems like it. That's our piece of data in that area. So that's what we're having in this area. By the way, I want to just back up here, if I can, for a second, on the beams being thrown outward. We're going to talk about that later, aren't we?
Yes. We'll be back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com and Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing. And no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. He has a Ph.D. in physics from Cornell University, earned that in 1974. We're talking today with Dr. Larson about what, from his perspective, is a physics-based explanation for what happened to the World Trade Center towers on 9/11. Ron, take it away.
Good. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Again, just... chill out, everybody.
Hey, I'm chilled out.
Pardon me?
I'm chilled out. This is fun, actually. I mean, fun. We're talking about something that's obviously very serious and very grim. But between your website, libertycalling.com, and your discussion, I feel like I'm, over the course of the next few days, going to be getting a handle on some things. And I'd like to tell the listeners that not simply with this show, but with a lot of shows, you know, the radio is a great medium to bring out the initial data that you need for further exploration, but it takes study and it takes comparison of data and a lot of thinking. So we're just at the beginning point, both me and the listeners, in regard to just just taking out what you're laying out before us, Dr. Larson, and hopefully working a lot more with it in days and weeks ahead.
Yep. Okay, good.
So go ahead.
It'll work out. It really will. Remember what Martin Sage said, right? Just don't jump to conclusions. Don't think so hard.
That's right.
Don't do that. And let the pieces fall in there. That's not what they teach you in school, right? They teach you, well, this is the way you solve the problem. Think about it. That's not the way to do it. It really isn't. That's the old way of doing it. How am I going to say it? That's the way they've taught you how to do it. And that stifles the imagination and doesn't allow you to come up with a new way of looking at things. So anyway, yeah, good. I'm glad this is working out for you. Anyway, yeah, it takes a long time. It just takes dedication. And the motivation for the dedication is one of the reasons I'm saying why I'm even bringing this up, when we're talking about this. I'm wondering why I'm getting some feedback here, but I do hear it there. I think you hear a little bit. Is the reason I'm pushing on this quite a bit is that, oh, I know, it could be the phone. Maybe that's it. The reason I'm pushing on this is that ultimately, remember, our goal on this thing is to get a real story that could be put together. Maybe we're not going to assign guilt or anything at this point. I'm not going to say, oh, the Jews did it, the Arabs did it, the president. No, I'm not going to do that. We're just trying to get the data, find out what happened. And I suspect you've got to have to get people in front of some grand jury or Congress or something, not only to give testimony, but be really by cross-examined by experts, because somebody can call in as an attorney. I understand that the only truth only comes out when you have cross-examination. So that's what we're trying to do here. Anyway, we gave you a lot of the evidence here so far. There's more coming. Just relax here. So we've got, what do we have here? We had Professor Stephen Jones here. We had the molten metals in the beams in the basement. Jones also talked about throwing bowling balls out of windows, et cetera, the time of flight to the ground. So it appears like we have something blasting out, knocking out material below each floor as it's collapsing. Now, the early concepts and the early theories on this said, oh, it's pretty simple. The government, it would tell you what really happened. This is trivial. What really happened was the steel either melted or bent, and the floors broke away from the inner and outer cylinders, you know, the inner core and outer core. And this kind of popped, you know, dropped, pop, pop, pop. They hit each other and collapsed to the ground, and that was pancaking. Well, because of the bowling ball effect here, right? It wasn't pancaking. Now, if you take a look at a lot of buildings that look around for pictures of buildings that have collapsed due to earthquakes and things like this, indeed they did pancake. You'll also notice there's a lot of structural concrete there. Remember I said that modern buildings tend to be built with, you know, like 60% steel and 40% concrete rather than the other way around. And those ones that pancake, typically, that's what's happening to them, is that they're built that way. And I'm going to add something parenthetically here, piece of information, piece of history, not proof, is that no steel frame building, this is what we're talking about, right? Steel and concrete is used kind of for decorative purposes or just for floors primarily, has collapsed due to fire. I mean, I'm dealing with the history going back to the beginning, probably the turn of the 20th century, maybe when records were kept, up till, you know, present day. There was a fire in Madrid that lasted, days long, and the building never fell. Didn't do that. So there's a real issue about heating causing a building to so-called pancake. Anyway, so we've got that piece of information, of the time of flight information. And let's see where we're going. Where are we going from here? So much information. Again, Dr. Stephen Jones, he looked at a lot of the data here, and he began to think, I wonder whether some demolition was used. How would it have been used? What could be done? Fortunately, what happened was he came across some of the pieces of steel that were used. or the trash, you know, taken down from the buildings. By the way, the trash, the steel, was taken down, pulled away, carted away, piled up pretty quickly, at least in the beginning. And within a here, interesting piece of information, within about a week of the steel being piled up, et cetera, the city allowed it to be carted away and sent to China and India and various other places to be remelted. What's wrong with this picture, right? Isn't this forensic evidence? Aren't you supposed to have a yellow tape up and don't touch anything? Well, that's not what happened. Strange, isn't that really strange? Mayor Giuliani was there. He was the one who would have given the okay, FEMA, et cetera. Yet they carted it away. And by the way, there were inspections on a few pieces of that steel. FEMA looked at the steel, by the way, and it was interesting. They noted on the steel that there were erosion spots on the steel. They talked about, now here's a word to put in your mind, we'll explain it, eutectic mixtures. In other words, it turned out that the steel seemed to have been radically thinned by something. They found a lot of sulfur there also in the deposits. And then it will come back to the sulfur, too. So Stephen Jones was able to get at some of the slag, and he used various techniques, you know, dispersive x-rays, scanning electron microscopy, et cetera, and said, I wonder what's in there. He had thought about that maybe thermite was used in the blast, in the process, you know, was set off. Thermite charges were set off. Cutter charges were set off. These charges, by the way, cutter, if you look at some of the videos, not necessarily of 9/11, but of other videos of thermite burning, you can take a pile of this thermite, set it off with an igniter, and have it burn through the block of a big engine in a matter of seconds. It goes right through. So that would account for, by the way, the steel in the basement, the puddles of steel or iron or steel, if that's what it was, metal in the basement. Interesting, you know, pictures kind of coming together here. So Professor Jones says, let's take a look at exactly what's in that slag that he found there on the metal. And he also, by the way, got the dust from one of the apartment buildings and did a similar thing on that. Now, as far as the slag and the other one, I'll say essentially the same results. Well, not exactly. The slag was a little bit different. The slag had a lot of had iron in it, had aluminum oxide. There was sulfur around there, also barium salts in that area. And that's interesting. If you take iron oxide, mix it with aluminum, and then set it off, essentially you really have thermite, the high temperature stuff, the burner. If you add sulfur to it, what you do is it turns into what's called that eutectic mixture. In other words, what sulfur does is lowers the melting point of steel, say from 1500 degrees to 500 degrees or something like that, centigrade. And that makes it easy to cut steel. I mean, it goes through, as I said, like the in the case of even regular thermite without sulfur in it, it cuts through a block of steel just real easily. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Remember the columns that were cut off at a 45 degree angle?
Yes.
If you go to that 9/11 Mysteries, the producer there shows that picture, obviously, but she actually goes to demolition sites and she speaks to people. How do you put these charges in? What are you doing with this? Well, many cases they just drill holes and they put the explosives in there. He said, but to bring the columns down, they have a little gadget that allows them to pour the powder, the cutting kind of charges at a 45 degree angle to the column. And the reason for that, of course, is once that's set off, then if you put a blast under the whole thing, if you set the whole thing up, a shockwave goes up and shifts the building to the side and starts to bring the building down. That's, remember that bang? Boom! And then a series of pops. Does that prove it? No. It sure is moving us in that direction, though, isn't it?
It's suggestive. It's suggestive.
It's really suggestive. Anyway, so does this get exciting? It just really does. So physics is fun, especially if you're into radio. That combination, I just love that combination. Anyway, so we've got where do we go here? So we got that thing, and so as far as the, by the way, it was barium in there. Now, I'll tell you something interesting about barium. The military in hand grenades uses thermite, explosive thermite, in as barium. Oh, isn't that interesting? Does this prove, now I got to ask you a question, how alert are you? Does this prove that because we found these elements in there, compounds in there, does this prove, and they correspond to thermite, thermate, et cetera, does this prove that thermite was used, thermate? No, it doesn't, because it could come from somewhere else. But we're dealing with something here. Let's go to the physics. Let's go to physics thinking. Necessary and sufficient conditions. Now, so you got to have both conditions made. In order for there to assume, let's assume this thermite was there, the necessary condition for that thermate was used was that you found these chemicals. But because that's a necessary condition. But because you found the chemicals, the metals there, it doesn't mean that that was the only reason. So you always have to look at what are called necessary and sufficient conditions. What Professor Jones has not done, I think he's done it, some of the other material found there, but the key ones, he hasn't nailed it down, I don't believe. We can check the papers here. But we certainly have a necessary condition filled. Anyway, so that's kind of interesting. We connected that to the 45-degree angle in the beam. We also connected it to the fact the puddles in the basement. Let me give you another one that somebody pointed out to me yesterday, and I'd seen it before, but I figured out the answer to it. If you looked at the collapsing of one of the buildings, it's either north or south, you'll see that the collapse seems to start from the impact point, and then the upper part of the building cocks over at about a 30-degree angle. And you don't see much of it afterward, but if you look at the rest of the you say, what happened here? And then the demolition starts again from the top of the building. And that block gets turned to dust. Now, let's just figure out what happens here. There's a concept called angular momentum. Let me make a graphic example. You take a chair, you ticked off with somebody, and in the process of it, you throw it at the person, the chair, and it goes floating out the window. This is a person, and it's dropping, obviously, but it's spinning and rotating around some axis. You can see that. Now, you notice that axis keeps on spinning, rotating, right? It doesn't stop. It keeps on. So the momentum is conserved. It just keeps on going. Unless you put a torque in the other direction and stop it, nothing's going to stop it while it's floating through the air. Same thing with the top of the building. It's rotating over. It gives us angular momentum. It's got to be conserved. It's got to be continued. What happened was, now let's go into the minds of the perpetrators. It looks like what happened, that charges were set off in the bottom, and something went wrong at the top. They said, "Uh-oh, got to push another button here." And what that did was it turned the top of that building, the tilted over portion from a block, which would have fallen to the basement, fallen to the ground, and really caused a lot of questions if you think about it, right? Toppling over. We got to get rid of it. So apparently what they did, somebody did, was set off some other charges to clear that out. So it's a really interesting one. What did I say? Didn't I mention? Yeah, I guess I mentioned all of the dust and no concrete there at all. So I think we've covered pretty much the main points. I'm going to go through them. I'm going to mention what we have here so that we can get some clarity in the whole things. First of all, there were bones, no bodies were found, right? Concrete was turned to dust, and that's not going to happen, folks. I mean, you're not going to turn concrete to dust. You can say, well, I sound like a physicist again here. You know, if you consider that the building has potential energy, that is to say, you throw a bowling ball out of the building, and it hasn't moved yet. You haven't let it go. And it has potential energy. That is to say, when it falls, it'll pick up speed. then the speed is going to, that means kinetic energy. You got hits the bottom of the bowling ball, crashes or something, or the cinder block smashes apart or something like that. So it's the conversion of what's called potential energy into kinetic energy, and then in the bottom you have an inelastic thing occurring. And of course, what's going to happen with the cinder block? Come on, let's face it, folks. I don't care what you do with it. It's not going to turn to dust. I mean, it's going to have chunks, and it may have a lot of dust, but it's only where it's really hit, where the shock waves move around the chunk of concrete, that it's going to crush. But this is, face powder, that's what we're dealing with, particle sizes. So that's a real issue here. Now, that's a very important issue. Let's get at the, how could that possibly happen? Well, that could possibly happen really well.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com and a physical discussion of 9/11 when we return. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
We're We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. He has a Ph.D. in physics from Cornell University, earning that in 1974. And he's been talking with us today about 9/11 and specifically the arguments from physics regarding what actually happened to the World Trade Center towers. And before I continue this conversation with Dr. Larson, I wanted to mention to him again and to all of you that this is a time when there will be some very frequent commercial breaks in the next 10 minutes or so. I wanted to mention that tomorrow I'm going to have Nathan Condit on this show. He has written a new book entitled The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. He's going to join me for just an hour tomorrow between 9 and 10 o'clock, the last hour of my show. I'm sure that you'll enjoy listening to him. Monday, Charlotte Iserbit, who is the director of DeliberateDumbingDown.com and AmericanDeception.com, is going to join me, and that's Monday on this show. Jim Condit on Tuesday is going to be discussing a number of issues related to Zionist infiltration of the Roman Catholic Church at the time of Vatican II, among many other things. And then Wednesday, the 24th of January, I've got a real dynamite show lined up for you. Dilip Hiro, H-I-R-O, one of the leading scholars in the world in the area of the Middle East. He's written what is considered to be the definitive work on the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1988. He also authored, among many other books, The Iranian Labyrinth. He's going to be on in the first hour of my show on Wednesday with his new book, Blood of the Earth, A Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. He will be followed that same morning by Dr. Michael Chosudovsky of globalresearch.ca. And Dr. Chosudovsky, of course, is the director of the Center for Research on Globalization, and I think you'll enjoy him very much, too. So that's Dilip Hiro and Michael Chosudovsky, both on tap for Wednesday, the 24th. Ron, back to our conversation then. Take it away.
Okay. By the way, I don't want to make you blush here, you know, but I want to preach
a little
bit.
Nobody can see me anyway, so go ahead.
For the people who are just tuned in for the first time, stick with this guy. He's really, really bright. He's really good. He's a pro. You've got some marvelous guests on there. You really do. You know, lots of times I want to do something else. I'm here, but I say, wait a minute, I want to continue listening to Mark. Because he brings some great people in there. They're just high-class people. I feel honored to be included in that list of people. I really do, being on your show. Anyway, it's fun to deal with bright people. It really is. I mean, and the people, by the way, that listen to RBN tend to be above average. They really do. They're just good people. By the way, let me put my – it's a plug or urging in. Let me just say again about what – I want you to look at the site. Now, there's a lot of news. I try to publish three times a week, two times a week. I hope to do it every day. It doesn't work. This is a labor of love right now. Anyway, I like to get some commercial support, et cetera. And looking at my commercial support, here we go.
I want you to get right back to it. It's Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. Stay tuned.
Friends of freedom and liberty, our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media.
There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many T-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com, or call 800-724-2719.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.